Hi, Dr. Harding.
Hi, Joyce.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
It is really bizarre. We're having quite the windstorm out here, and it might be interrupting our reception. I do apologize for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so today I have Dr. Harding on the podcast, and I'm excited because we're going to talk about continuing on from the blog post on sensitivity or true allergy. And this is really an interesting topic. I'm really interested in it because I've had allergies most of my life, and some of them I've outgrown, and others, I don't know, So I thought, what a better person to ask than my doctor, Dr. Lindsay Harding. So, what do you feel about someone that has allergies versus they're just sensitive to certain things? And why is it that it's a sensitivity or an intolerance, but it could be a life-threatening allergy? Like, what makes it mild to severe? Like, what's within our system that does this? And what can we do to strengthen our system so we don't have such a severe reaction?
Good question. So, allergies and sensitivities, they are formed by the immune system, and we have these things called antibodies, which I think everyone is familiar with now, with the COVID vaccine being talked about. But antibodies are a type of immunoglobulin. And so all antibodies are immunoglobulins, because they are a part of the immune system, but not all immunoglobulins are antibodies. And so we have four different types of immunoglobulins, four main types of immunoglobulins. And the kind that causes an anaphylactic reaction typically is what's called an IgE. So E like elephant, it's a big reaction. And IgG. So, think of G the way they taught it in med school is G is like a grandparent. It's someone that remembers everything. It has all these stories. And so a sensitivity is often an IgG reaction, meaning it's not this full-blown huge reaction that you might die from, but it tends to accumulate over time, and it's because your immune system reacted negatively to something, and it has created this antibody memory. So that's where the memory comes into play. It's an IgG reaction. And your immune system is going to react negatively every time it sees whatever that particle is that the body is interpreting as, an assailant, something that is not supposed to be there. So that's if we're looking at this, like the cell types and the types of antibodies, that is the main difference there. Anaphylactic allergies, so your IgE allergies, are from a sudden increase in histamine. So histamine is a cell signaler, and it basically tells the body to do different things. It signals to different cells, and one of the main things that it does in an allergic reaction is it tells your body to create an itch. So that's where people get really itchy and you get hives and it causes swelling. And so you can have swelling of the skin, you can have swelling of the lips, and you can get swelling and constriction as a result of that of your airways. And so that is what people think of when they think of a true allergic reaction, is it's that sudden increase in histamine that causes swelling. And typically, with that, airway constriction is the most common reason people end up having an EpiPen to help reduce that reaction.
I see. That's really
So,
interesting. That's really
yeah.
interesting. I really like that. So now I like I was when I was a child, I had lots of allergy tests done. Some were like localized, like dust and things that you can control, and most of it was food. And I personally feel I'd grown out of them. So with an IgE or an IgG, I guess. Can one grow out of it? Is this something that when the body either becomes healthier or something changes within the system? Can you suddenly just kind of not be affected by it, or how does that work?
You can. So we can develop new allergies throughout our life, and of both kinds of allergies. And we can also have allergies that at some point go away. And so it's helpful to think of it as an allergy is being caused by something outside of the body that when it enters the body has a negative reaction. And it can be a host of reactions. But essentially, the body can be retrained to not have that reaction. But the body can also be trained to have a reaction to something that you did not previously have a reaction to. And so when you're talking about strengthening your immune system and how to, you know, resolve current allergies and how to prevent future allergies, what you really need to do is look at the person as a whole and figure out what systems are weak. So I'm going to take a step back, and I want to ask, do you have more of a question about food allergies or more environmental? It's similar, but it's a little different as well. So I just want to make sure that I answer your question.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. So being that it's spring and summer, going into summer here, there's lots of airborne environmental allergies, and a lot of people are concerned about that. Maybe wondering if there's some way they can get rid of them, you know? So in terms of like environmental allergies, I have friends that have really severe reactions to everything. Is there something within their system that they can change, or is this something, you know, where can a person, like what type of testing, like where would someone go to try to find some solutions on something that's so severe?
Like, yeah. So first of all, if you want to test to find out what's going on, my personal opinion is that blood testing is the best way to go. So most people are familiar with the skin prick tests. They used to be the standard of care when testing for allergies, but the skin prick tests only test for IgE allergies. So they are really checking for that high level of a histamine reaction that you're going to have from your skin being poked with some sort of chemical or common allergen. A blood test, you can test all the different kinds of immunoglobulins. So we can test for different kinds of antibodies, which means that essentially we can look at all the different types of allergies that you could be developing to something. And this is true for seasonal allergies, allergies to trees and grasses, pollens, all of that. We can check multiple kinds of antibodies in your blood. And so it's just easier, you know, it's just one blood draw. So I find that that's better than walking around with a rashy arm or back for a week. And so that is the way. That is the best way to test for that. What that test result will tell you is specifically what kind of reaction you're having, which lets you know, do you need medication on hand for this? You know, is this possibly going to be really bad? You know, do you need an EpiPen for a reaction, or can you get by with daily allergy medication? So with that, everyone's probably familiar with things like Allegra and Claritin that you can purchase over the counter. What these are doing is working on decreasing your histamine reaction. Natural supplements can do the same thing. You often need a higher dosage, and we need what's called a loading dose. So you have to take a much higher dose to really rev up your system to decrease the release of histamine that's happening before you can just start on a one pill a day regimen. And that's usually 5 to 10 days, depending on how bad someone's reactions are. So I'm not talking about taking a month, like a month of a really high dose of supplement, but it is a deterrent for some people because taking something, you know, more than once a day is often difficult. But really common agents that people can find in the store are things like stinging nettle and quercetin. And these help to stabilize the type of immune cell that releases histamine. And so taking these, what we call histamine stabilizers, can help to reduce that allergic reaction that's happening. And histamine is the main culprit of your itchy, watery eyes, your runny nose. It can cause some airway constriction, like I mentioned. So people who have asthma, if your seasonal allergies make you wheeze more, or if you get more of a cough with some allergies, these histamine reducers are really excellent.
Interesting. Do you happen to know of anything like this? Do animals get histamine reactions, do you think?
I know animals can suffer from allergies, seasonal, food, and otherwise. I would assume it's very similar because I know some of the medications that are used are similar, but I do not actually know animal biochemistry, so I am not educated to speak on the topic.
I just thought I'd throw that out there. Yeah, no, I know it's similar, but not. Yeah. So, like with our system, so say if a person has had a history of just, catching everything, flus, viruses, just general fatigue. Would you say that they're more prone to have more types of allergy responses to a variety of different things? I guess why I'm going in this direction is, say someone really takes responsibility for strengthening their health, and that goes through eating better, choosing foods that are healthier, a lifestyle that's healthier. Through strengthening our general system, do we have a better chance of being protected against typical allergens versus if we, I guess I'm not really asking the question
I
completely.
think I understand your question. And the answer is yes. Typically speaking, you can reduce your risk of developing allergies to most things, with the caveat to that being IgE reactions that are the full-blown anaphylactic reactions. These tend to develop more spontaneously. We don't fully know why they always form. Sometimes there are genetic components, but these also cause a lot of seasonal allergies. And if you talk to anyone who lived in one area that was high pollen and they moved to, say, the desert, they probably feel much better for a few years. And then as their body gets acclimated and is bombarded with these new pollens year after year, they will develop new allergies. So part of it seems to be just how much of the substance the body is seeing and how it reacts to it.
It's interesting. It's
So
really
it's not
interesting
always
learning.
how strong is your immune system, like baseline, unfortunately.
So it does make it complicated, but it's a good thing that you can simply go get a blood test and rule out a few things, right? That's awesome. So if a person is more sensitive or feels like they're bombarded with multiple allergies and they would like to know what, then going in and having a specific test for the things that they think could be causing the reaction. Like there's some areas that are really gray. Like I've had friends that were had multiple sensitivities to environmental issues and they didn't even really realize it. Until they got really, really sick, and it was ke like chemical sensitivities on one gal in particular. And she had to go through a blood test, but she also had to go through intravenous vitamin therapy because it really like her system was really weak. She was in went through a guided detox. I mean, this doctor put her through the whole gamut of things, but as a result of it, her health regained. I mean, she became really strong and never had these types of problems. But she also found out that it was due to like the paint in her building and the carpet she was really allergic to or sensitive to. And those are things that she, that the place she was at, she couldn't really control. But she chose after she found out why she had so many multiple problems that she chose to create her own little space. And her boyfriend was in construction and he helped her create like a non-toxic in working environment. It was really amazing. They found brought like building materials that gave off less gases. He put in a water purifying system. She was actually a hair designer. And so she was affected by a lot of the chemical sensitivities. But yeah. It seemed like in her case, her histamines were really sensitive to everything. It's really, I'm just glad that there's a little bit more easier testing done than having the pricks done on your back. And it sounds like it's even more affordable to get a test done to find out what's really the underlying influence of your aggravation with your health, right?
It is. I mean, lab testing can always add up quick. But if you know, if you're looking for like an airborne allergy versus a food allergy, that can really narrow down the labs that you're getting done. And you could probably get done what you're looking for around 200, if not under that. So
okay. Do you know
what is pretty good?
Sorry about that. Didn't want to interrupt you. But do you know if insurance does cover certain testing, or is that a kind of an out-of-pocket cost for most folks?
Insurance will cover like lactose intolerance testing and the very basics of celiac testing. They won't test all the different antibodies that are available to test, but they'll test a few. They will also cover allergy panels often for like environmental allergies. So LabCorp, different panels that are specific to your region. So example, out here, I use the Northwest region, and it tests for molds and cockroaches and grasses and tree pollens that are common to our area.
Oh, wonderful. So now say someone does come in to you and they have the test done, then what would be like what would be your recommendation basically? Like how would you deal with someone that has severe, you know, environmental allergens to the Pacific Northwest and they can't move? So what can they do?
Well, the first thing is making sure that they have immediate relief if needed. So, you know, yeah, if they have an anaphylactic reaction, anything, that's not really too much with environmental, but making sure that they're set up with an EpiPen. If allergies are really bad, you know, make sure that the person knows their options of over-the-counter medications versus natural supplements. A lot of changes in the diet can also be helpful. So because mm-hmm. this reaction is histamine driven, of course, there are foods that contain more histamine and that promote histamine release. And so mm-hmm. we want to reduce the intake of those, because reducing how much of those kinds of foods we eat can reduce the level of reaction that we have. So that's a big one. And then, of course, stress management and sleep is really vital, as you know, with everything. Mm-hmm. But stress and not getting enough sleep can make everything worse, and that includes allergies. Mm-hmm. Part of that is because we can develop new allergies, and oftentimes that's because our body is weaker than it should be, especially when it comes to food allergy development. Mm-hmm. And so as we develop more and more allergies, we become more susceptible to continue to develop more, because as we build more of these antibodies and we release more histamine, it kind of creates this negative feedback cycle where we're just kind of breaking down our own ability to fight things. And so we get caught in this circle, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So you kind of have to address all sides of what are impacting the person's life. Mm-hmm. Ideally, if you can address them all in a, you know, a close amount of time, that's best with allergies. Mm-hmm. But what specific substance you use and the dose really depends on the person, what else is going on. You know, medications and some of the supplements can interact with other things. So making mm-hmm. sure that each individual medication mm-hmm. or supplement is safe for each person is really important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So say if a person has allergies or sensitivities, and they refuse to go to the doctor and they refuse to take anything, you know, Maybe they just believe everything is mind over matter and they're just not going to take anything. Our sensitivities and intolerances, if you leave or if you leave them alone, can they wreak havoc on your system in a more pronounced way where they could create more problems down the road? Or does a person just, you know, how serious can it be if you don't take responsibility for it, in other words?
Yeah, so seasonal allergies can progress and just, you know, become more and more bothersome. It can impair your sleeping and how you breathe, all of that. That really depends on, you know, do you have other airway, any other respiratory diseases? Allergies aren't necessarily going to cause a respiratory disease, but they can certainly make it flare. Especially if it's not being well controlled. When it comes to food sensitivities are a major underlying cause of autoimmune diseases. So essentially our immune system is based in our gut. So most of our immune system is really created in that space around the intestines. And so as we develop food sensitivities, what we're doing is we're actually damaging the integrity of our intestines. So we're damaging the gut. And when we damage the gut, we damage the surrounding area, which houses our immune system, our ability to make serotonin, one of our happy neurotransmitters that makes us feel good. It has really widespread effects. And if you think about it on a broad scale, so allergies are caused because we're creating antibodies. Antibodies cause destruction. We don't want antibodies to things that we should not have antibodies to. So essentially, when food particles get into the bloodstream and the area surrounding the intestines, what's happening is the body then creates these inflammatory agents called cytokines. And those cause more inflammation. And so you always hear about people talking about inflammation is bad, inflammation causes disease. Sensitivities cause inflammation. And so you end up destroying some of that tissue. And what happens is that this inflammation really, really likes certain glands. Your thyroid gland is usually one of the first places it goes to destroy. So if you've heard of Hashimoto's disease or Hashimoto's thyroiditis, this is hypothyroidism, so low functioning of the thyroid that's caused by antibodies that are destroying the tissue of the thyroid. Hashimoto's almost always starts because something went wrong in the gut.
Interesting. Now,
infections.
I'm sorry. My mind is racing and I'm coming up with questions for you. Interrupted you. So sorry, but would probiotics or prebiotics be something that would be helpful, or what would be the, what would one do?
So probiotics are helpful, but they are not going to reduce this reaction. So what you need to do in the case of food sensitivities is you need to address the actual cells in the intestines that are now damaged. And so you need the agents to repair those cells, but we also need to do things to block all of the inflammatory agents that are being produced. So we need to both block inflammation while we work to heal those cells at the same time. And probiotics aren't going to do that. Probiotics are used in a later stage when we're looking to kind of replenish and prevent it from rehappening. So resveratrol is a great agent that helps reduce inflammation. And then what you're doing for the gut is more geared on like a cellular level. And so that's really what needs to be done to resolve this. Lifestyle factors are so important. I think the biggest downfall for a lot of us is we try to eat healthy, and so we meal prep. and we meal prep, and then we eat the same food for dinner or lunch 3 days in a row.
Right.
And that will worsen food sensitivities. It will cause more sensitivities. The body has to have rotation because as it becomes more and more sensitive, as there are more and more antibodies being created to different things, essentially, the more it sees the same substance, the bigger of a reaction the body is going to have to that substance. So you're going to have
Interesting.
more of a negative reaction to whatever it may be. And this is how people will end up saying that they have a negative reaction to
Like
broccoli
me.
or to different vegetables and to a lot of things that are otherwise considered healthy. It's because they've overeaten it.
Interesting. That's really interesting. I've heard that same thing too. Like you can develop them from like if you crave, like food cravings can be a symptom or a, yeah, a symptom of sensitivities. And if you continue to eat them, so that's what you're saying, that that can contribute to the inflammation in your system.
Yes.
Interesting. Very interesting. So a person could come in, get a blood test for food sensitivities and kind of narrow it down, right? So there's like a game plan that a person could do.
Yes. It is really it's always both funny and sad, both to myself and the patients that I work with, because when people want a food allergy panel to test to see what sensitivities and allergies they may have, I'll ask them, what is one food that if I told you you can't eat it, you are going to want to walk up, you're going to want to stand up and just walk out of here and never see me again. And that food, 95% of the time, shows up as one of their worst sensitivities. And it's because they eat it every day, if not multiple times a day. And sensitivities, if we heal the gut and we stop this process from happening, it's possible to be able to eat that food in as little as about 4 weeks without a negative reaction. It just takes a lot of work.
Well, the payoff is better health, better energy, clarity of mind, all the things that we enjoy in having good health. So a little bit of effort has a great payoff.
Yes.
Has a really
Thank
great payoff.
goodness.
Thank goodness, exactly. Well, that makes me think about the testing that we did today. I got to see Dr. Harding today to do my checkup on my cholesterol level and my vitamin D, which I've talked about in previous blog posts. I think that I would like to do that food panel myself because being I did have so many multiple allergies as a kid, and my personality type, I am a very hearty personality type, but I do have food cravings and I do eat repeated food items because I love them. And yeah, that could definitely contribute to some of the lack of energy I've had and some of the dim-witted mental brain fog I've experienced from time to time.
We all have a little bit of that from time to time, though.
Yeah. But that's awesome that it can just be determined by just a blood test and not too expensive either. And the payoff would be really beneficial. So that's really good to know. And I hope it's been informative to everyone that's been listening. And Dr. Harding, what days are you available there at your clinic?
I am available Monday through Thursday, and then Fridays, I'm available upon request and mainly by telemedicine.
Oh, great. Oh, great. A lot of people want to do that. A lot of people want to do that. So excellent. Well, again, I really appreciate you being here. Is there any closing words you want to share or?
I would actually like to share one thing, that I know people who are scared of needles or don't have a few hundred bucks to do a test like this, but would really like to. The actual gold standard of figuring out if you have a food sensitivity or multiple food sensitivities is to do a 3 week elimination diet, which you can look up online. And essentially, it is cutting out all of the really common food sensitivities and allergies, and you rotate your foods, eating, you know, if you're gonna make a certain dish one night, you don't eat it again until 3 nights later. And then you slowly reintroduce foods, reintroducing one new food every 3 days after that 21 days is up, and see if you have a reaction. And that is actually really the best way to determine if you have a sensitivity. The issue with that is it's very time consuming to reintroduce one new food back in every 3 days to see if you have a reaction. And most people prefer to just get all that information in one swoop. So
yeah, of course. Well, you know, I think we can all prioritize. I mean, we all figure a way to get what we want in life. Most of us do. And it depends on what the value is. And having good health is worth everything, because without it, you can't do anything. You know?
Yes.
I mean, and that's my value anyway. It's absolutely worth pursuing. It's my hobby. It's my joy. It's the passion in life I have. And, you know, but it pays off. It really pays off. I'm healthier now than I've ever been. And I'm not going to go there and expose my age, but you know, I've been around the moon a few times, and I again feel great. I feel really good. And when I was a kid, I was constantly sick, constantly being dragged in to get one more dose of antibiotics after another. And I know my poor little gut really wreaked havoc from all of that, but you know, you can repair it through the efforts. Like you said, you know, it takes time. It takes some discipline and efforts, but the payoff is so good. It really is so great. I mean, every day can be either a joy of getting up or another day of just dredge, you know, just dreading the day because of how you feel. And yeah, I'd much rather feel joyful about my day. So, but anyway, yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I will make sure that all your contact details are listed on the podcast here too, as well as on the blog, and the blog should be uploaded within a day or two. And I hope if anyone has any questions, you can reach out to me or you can contact Dr. Harding directly. And let's create great health. You guys, it's spring. It's soon to be summer, and hey, let's have it. Let's go for it. So thank you. Thanks everyone for listening. And thank you to Dr. Harding.
All right. Thanks for having me, Joyce.
You're welcome. Bye now.